Feeling really fly to right now.
It's time for you to earn your stripes, Johnny.
Take the money and run.
That was so hard. You can't die. You cheater. You can't die.
This is a wild game of survival. This is a wild game of survival.
We are live, coming here with another Stir the Pod podcast show. I am your host, Alex, and tonight we are joined by Andy. Andy, how are we doing tonight?
What up, what up?
And we are joined by no one else. It's just us two tonight. Trev bailed. Not too surprising. I feel like he had been on for enough episodes. He kind of had to take a vacation, a la Hank from Part of My Take. But we keep going. Two-man crew tonight. We'll get the chat going here pretty soon. There we go. I think I can see the chat now. Episode 16 in the books, the second episode of Conquest. What did we think about the episode tonight?
I mean, I'll tell you what. I wasn't happy with a lot of the results. We'll get into that.
Sorry. All right. My bad. I was trying to make you the whole thing. I'm not going to fuck with it anymore.
God. I was not happy with how things shook out for a lot of reasons, but I did enjoy the episode. It was very entertaining. I was excited going into it. It was a good, hour and a half of TV. It's definitely got my hopes a little down for what's in store for us from here moving forward. But all in all, I still thought this week's was a good episode, especially if you think about it relative to this season as a whole.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think this episode was like a sad episode because we just lost so many people. Really like some of the last people that we were rooting for, period. And we'll get into kind of the outlook for the rest of the season in a little bit. But I think the episode itself was good. I think it was entertaining. It was juicy, even though it wasn't like the, maybe some of the outcomes that we were expecting, but I think it was a step back from last week, but I think it was still like weirdly still a step in the right direction. Like it was a better episode than, the month of episodes that we had before then.
Right. And if you take away what happened, like the end results, it was still a very good episode. Trust the process. The results hopefully will come in time. Mikey the Doctor says the top three people are gone. I tend to agree in terms of like skill and overall likeness. And the problem is I just don't even know who I'm rooting for now. So
yes, that's I think a big question mark. I have a lot of thoughts on that, but let's, as I say, dive right in to the episode, episode 16. So we get back from the last episode where they, it's kind of funny how this episode ended where Norris came in last, but like to start the episode, they start Kylan and Horacio stage this whole big thing where they're going to say, only we know what happened. And so Kylan goes into the house first and kind of makes it seem like, he doesn't say, like, I'm the only one back, because obviously he would get caught in a lie, but he basically says, like, they separated us. We had to do our own individual thing. So, like, I'm back. I don't know if anybody else is back. I don't know if they're coming back. They all go nuts. People are literally crying, a very cry-heavy episode tonight. And then, like, 5 minutes later, Horacio comes in. So I don't know if Horacio was just kind of, like, chilling, down on the driveway in the car, like, kind of hiding behind the bushes, but they kind of staged this little coup to, keep all the information to themselves. What did you think about that?
It was one of those classic things where it's obviously helpful if you've got a blind elimination to not tell the rest of the house anything, I think they did kind of the only one person came back as a bit of a bit, you know? And they bit on that bit hard. I mean, you had tears. Everyone was going crazy. And then when it cut to Horacio, it's kind of like he was standing over there like, I'm here too. And then obviously everyone was happy and all that good stuff. But I always like, and I think that's another pro of the blind eliminations is no one knows what actually happens until you go in one.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I think McCord brought it up on Twitter tonight. I remember this vaguely. I don't remember the details, but I guess on Fresh Meat 2, when they had the secret details, it was CJ and his partner came back from the exile still pretty early in the season. And they were kind of, I think they came up with some super elaborate description of what happened. And they like do that little montage where they kind of like cut to CJ describing like this, this, and this, and they cut to Wes's face. And he's just like, this doesn't sound like the challenge. And then they go back and forth. And like CJ clearly thinks he pulled one over on the whole house. And Wes is just like, there's no fucking chance this happened.
And I think that was after, I don't think they were the first blind elimination either.
No,
I think they were like the second or third. So, and I think Wes might've been in one. Watch it, McCord. That was a very smirky moment. And that's what you get with the blind eliminations. And I think that just adds a nice wrinkle to it and entertainment.
Yeah, and it's interesting now because, like, Norris is coming back. So now Norris is the only person in the house who knows what the elimination is like since Horacio and Kylan went home. So we'll see what she does. And it's funny because now she's going to come in, and they're going to be like, all right, where's the second person? And she's going to be like, there's not a second person.
And there is a oh.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny that they came up with that idea. It was kind of a smirky way, I feel like, to start the episode. And then after that, the two other things that I had written down before the challenge were Berna and Kylan kind of got in a random fight out of nowhere. Very, if you were rewatching the episode, just kind of do a quick fast forward of it. And then Emmanuel's talking to Berna and he kind of starts thinking about his mom. So then he calls his mom and that's like another 5 minute segment. Anything on any of that before we hit the challenge?
Sure. I'm done with Berna. I don't think it's my first time saying that this season, but she fucking sucks. And I never want to see her again. She's awful. She's very, very, victim-y, where like, she'll be one of the first ones to hop in a fight and then be like, but you don't know what people are battling with. My mom is very sick. Why the fuck were you trying to start a fight then? Like, I just can't stand her. She's so like eager to fight and then immediately be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, she's just the worst and I never want to see her again.
Yeah, she's bad. There's like, I think there's still probably 3-4 people on this cast who like 3 episodes into this season, I would have said like they're gone in 2 weeks. Just because they were making a lot of noise. Like, Berna on episode 1, episode 2 was, like, in everybody's business. And the fact that she's still here in next week is going to be fucking February, and she's still here is just kind of insane. And I just, like, she just can't win. She can't – I don't want her to make a final. I don't want anybody of these people to make a final. But Berna is just impossible to root for.
I coined a term as I was watching this episode, and I think the name might need some workshopping, but I landed on Rat Pack. Rat Pack being Berna, Emmanuel, Colleen, Corey, and James. Why the fuck are those 5 people even still on the show? Like, in terms of everything, none of them are good. None of them are really good at politicking, but they've just like hitched their wagon to this like Jay Michelle alliance. And even though all of them were targets at some point in time, they're all still around. And it's like, why do we have this Rat Pack still on the show?
Yeah.
It's like half the cast at this point.
Yeah. They're kind of like a disease. It's not the big alliance. It's not the alliance that Horacio has kind of been, leading for the past month or so. It's just all these people who are just like leeches hanging on to the teat of Jay and, you know, Mariah too. And just like, you know, hanging on for as long as they can. And I mean, good for them. They're making it fucking far, but they're just like, as people, as challengers, as people to watch on TV, they're just brutal.
So let me ask you this. So of the Rat Pack, Emmanuel, Berna, Colleen, Corey, and James, if a member of the Rat Pack wins the challenge, what happens? Are one of those five guaranteed a ticket back? Is this what the challenge is? Where Colleen could be running a final and genuinely winning, possibly? Colleen?
Well, the thing is, though, is that now that, like, just statistically, that's what, five people out of 10 left, I think? So, I mean, that's coin toss. Like, they should, like, the fact that somebody from that group very well could win isn't a good thing, and they shouldn't be in a position of winning or being close to winning, but, like, that's something we might be talking about in a few weeks.
Colleen was on The Mole Germany.
Colleen's another person who, she should have been gone episode 4. She's done nothing.
Nothing. And none of those people are, like, entertaining either. No. Like, literally, think about it. Berna's only on-screen time is causing pointless fights and then playing victim. Emmanuel said as many words as nom. Corey, every time he's on the TV, he says something stupid. He was talking about the list tonight, and he said, well, yeah, if you do that, then it's going to be down to me, myself, and Berna as the three options. Idiot. James isn't allowed to talk unless Mariah puts a coin in him. Colleen is just like a lamp in the corner of the room. It's just terrible.
It's terrible. And usually, I feel like in the average challenge season, like back in the glory days, you would have people like that. You'd have a group like that. But like a third of the way, half of the way into the season is when like they finally have to go. When like the big dogs finally are like, you know, there's no more fat to cut here. We got rid of Tyree. We got rid of Jasmine. Like now you got to go. And then, you know, that's when like somebody like Leroy would go home or Anissa. Like that's just kind of what happens. And unfortunately now when they make these seasons where so much of it, you know, it's different the past two episodes, I guess, because you can't get last place, but it's still only impacted two people. But like they make such an impact on like who has the numbers. And Jay's stupid fucking alliance with all of this Rat Pack has had the numbers since day one. And so they're all still here.
Correct. And usually it gets to the point where the main alliance, like I'm thinking back to like Wes with all the rookies and whatnot. At one point in time in the season, just based on how the format is, the alliance has to start crumbling. Like they have to start taking off the low man on the totem pole. Because of chaos, they didn't have to have that. And now here we are so close to the final, a phrase that's been said for the past 2 months. We're left with like a steak in terms of the cast. Like usually there's a little bit of fat on a steak. Now all of the actual meat has been eaten and we're stuck with half steak, half just fucking fat. And it is not going to make for a good end of the season.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think the collective cast has kind of reached a low just because all the names we lost tonight. But let's get into the daily. So we go to the daily and it's just this kind of like weird rope rappelling thing. There's apparatus above water. I feel like, you know, we haven't had enough of those this season. Looks like we're getting one next week. And they basically, they have like five different heats of people doing it just to get through all the people. And I think it's basically like you have to, kind of reminded me of like of Mario Party mini games where you have to like get, you have to shoot your gun like the closest to zero. But if you shoot it after, then you're done. Because it was basically like you had to, I think, repel yourself as low as you could, as quick as you could. But if you went just too far, then you fall into the water and then you're done for. What did you think about, before we get into like the three people who finished last and everything, what did you think about this daily? Because this, in my opinion, was one of the worst we've had. This was awful.
I liked the idea of it's a big risk, big reward, mm-hmm. but not done in this fashion. Because, I mean, you could see, and we'll get into it, like, you could go home very easily. Which, like, you know, again, I get risk big, like, win big, but at the same time, it's like one little slip up on a fucking, like, pulley with ropes. Like, if you've never been rock climbing, that's probably the first time you've ever even interacted with something like that. Like, I thought, like, if I'm in, we'll say, Edge shoes, just stop right away and say check. It's not worth it. Like,
yeah.
Based on how fluky that the whole, like, daily was, like, in that whole system, it's like you're better off just not even risking it, hoping someone on your alliance wins, and going into an elimination. That's what I thought, like, halfway through this.
Yeah, I like the idea of like you said, something where, you know, if you try to push it all the way, you could win and you could get first place. But if you push it a little too much, then you could lose and go home. I just think in this situation, it's a way too fluky of a thing to send somebody home on. Like, it's like we talk all the time about these dailies and the eliminations where, like, they're not things that you practice. And this was a prime example of that. And I just don't like having, like, something like that be the only factor in does this person go home or do they stay. Like, if this was like part of like a daily where it's partners and like you and your partner have to rappel down, and then like based on how slow you do, like you have a, you know, like just like if there's other stuff around it where you can kind of make it up, I would like that more. But like the fact that it was literally just like start at the top of the rope, go down. If you can't figure it out, that sucks. You might go home. And then like that determines if you're going home or not. I just didn't like that.
Correct. And Mikey the Doctor says, after everyone saw James fall, why even try to win? Perfect point. James goes down in the first heat. Why not just go down and say, like, check, I'm getting out of here. It was just so fluky. So fluky. And also dangerous. Did you see Horacio's hands?
Yeah, the hands were absurd. I think the only, like, I guess Horacio went on the first heat with James.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, like, for someone like Ed, for someone, anybody that wasn't like firmly, basically Horacio and Kylan, which Horacio was on the first tee. Kylan, I think, was maybe later. If you absolutely need the win to like avoid elimination, but even like in Kylan's shoes, like you still have an elimination. Like it's just, yeah. Exactly. Who made it? Mikey the Doctor? Yeah, Mikey the Doctor's point. There's just nothing to go for. So I wasn't a fan of this daily. But we get, based on all the people who fell in, we go to, I think, commercial, and it's Ed from the Circle, Corey and James were all the three people who fell. So instantly, like from a fan viewer perspective, it's kind of like you have a 2-3 shot of somebody going home who you want to go home. Because, I mean, if James would have went home, if Corey would have went home, perfectly fine with that. The only fucking outcome was to not send Ed from the Circle home. We come back from commercial, and TJ tells us that's who's going home.
Mm-hmm. And that was the immediate just gut shot of – look, James has pissed me off a lot this season. He hasn't done much. But I can't fucking stand Corey. I think Corey's such a little bitch, and he's just pissed me off so much in this like season. So when he was on the chopping block, I was just hoping that he was going to be sent home. And I also didn't understand. They were like, well, James fell the fastest, but Ed fell slower, so he is the one losing. Like, I also didn't understand their logic in terms of who's the loser.
Yeah, and I'm sure they had a way to do this, but like, how do you figure out exactly who went the furthest down on the rope? like you can't really pinpoint exactly where they were, I don't think. And like, I guess you even like, I'm sure they have to unclip at some point. So at that point you can't see like where the little contraption was. So yeah, it was just, it was way, way too gimmicky of a daily to have this much of an implication on. So Ed goes home and it's just a gut punch, to lose him right away. And then he tells us that Jay wins, and it's just a double whammy to have that back to back. Jay yeah. winning over Horacio is just terrible. And that kind of, I mean, we said from this, from the top, like it was a good episode, but in terms of like rooting interest, this is kind of the start of where things took a turn.
Correct. And that, I mean, it was the absolute just nightmare scenario of that back to back. So at that point in time, it was like, well, we're in one here.
So, so what do we think? I'll let you take the floor on just, before we get into voting and all of that, just kind of Ed from the circle and his time on this season and everything. Do we want him back?
You know, as the only sole, one and only person on this podcast who's been all in on Ed from the circle since day one, I'm very sad to see him go. I would really like for him to be a staple of the show. He's entertaining. I think he's a very good competitor. He's very smart. The only thing that I didn't like about this season was I thought he was tied up in the wrong alliance. But that can happen. But I would love to see him back. I want him to be one of the focal points of the show. He's probably one of, if not like the only of the newer contestants in the past, like, 2-3 years that I'm very much like hoping to see on the next cast list.
Yeah. And oh my God. Yeah. I think the biggest like pro that Ed has going for him is that, and we talked about it, I think last week with Zaza a little bit, he's not an influencer. He doesn't come on the show to get followers. He doesn't come on the show and treat it like it's life or death. Like he is only one of the only people that smiles. He has fun. He's like yelling in his confessionals. He's having a good time. So like that's part of why I want to see him back. I think he's really just like a breath of fresh air. He needs to do something, I guess, when he comes back on for a third season. And I don't know what that something is, because like he even said it when he went home, like, he did play a pretty good social game. Like he was kind of on the right side for the most of it. And he said, you know, he never went into elimination and people liked him. And all of that I think is clear to see. But again, like, are you playing to get sixth place? Are you playing to make a final? Are you playing to win it all? Like at some point he's got to do something. He's got to turn on somebody. He's got to win a crazy elimination. So I want him back, but also like show me what the next evolution of Ed from the circle looks like.
Well, and I agree, and I think it's probably he's more not necessarily on his own, but wants to be the person calling the shots. And we see this a lot where like early on in their challenge career, people want to just go with the flow and want to be a part of a big alliance like Jay's. I mean, Horacio fell through it last year where he just was kind of along for the ride. But then once you realize like, oh, I can actually compete and I'm better than most of these people, then it becomes less of why do I want to be with you? And more so, why do you want to be with me? And then he becomes the one kind of calling the shots. Cause again, this is the first daily Jay's won, at least I think. Jay's not a fucking good competitor. He just plays this social game. But at the end of the day with the challenge, I think especially long term, if you want to be a shot caller, you have to put up, whether that be in dailies or eliminations. And I would take Ed over Jay any day of the week. So I think hopefully the next evolution of Ed from the Circle 2.0 is now Ed being the one who people are wanting to work with, and he has more power in the game.
Yes, agreed. He's got to be a little more of a leader than a follower, and that doesn't mean he has to be, you know, the loudest person in the house. That doesn't mean he has to be the head of an alliance, but like he has to have more of a grasp on what everybody else is doing instead of just kind of being one of those pawns in somebody else's game.
Correct. And much like you know, the GOAT season, Fresh Meat 2, where Landon wasn't the one calling all the shots, but he told Wes, like, I will be with you if you never say my name. And he never said his name, and then Landon ended up winning on his, like, more or less on his own. But the problem with Ed is, I think even if he would have stayed on, I still think he was low on the Jay Leiden's totem pole. And we kind of got a glimpse of that over the past couple episodes. So I don't think he was necessarily safe politically in this game, but if he were to be doing his own thing throughout, like, this season alone would be a good example of he does his own thing. He's still safe because he's good. And Horacio is trying to pull him in. And then he goes to Jay and says, I'll work with you, but I cannot come out of your mouth and I have to be your number one. And then Jay would be like, all right, well, you're a beast. I have no choice but to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what he has to start doing next, is start thinking of those types of game moves. I feel like he wasn't doing that at all, just really going with the flow. But yeah, Ed from the circle goes home, and then so we go kind of back to the house, and then like the next, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes before the voting is then basically they go to the club. There's no big drama from the club or anything, but it's basically all of them, you know, going through the list and figuring out who's going to be at the end. So it seems like we can just kind of cover their discussions and the discussion itself. It was labeled on the TV as the selection. Did you notice that when they went to voting? I always thought it was the deliberation. Did they change it for Conquest?
I think Conquest got changed.
They changed it. I think it was deliberation during Chaos, and now it says the selection. It's just so stupid, but it kind of made me smirk. But they kind of were basically, Jay has the first vote, and they it's really Nerys and Olivia who are kind of sucking up to Jay and Michelle, being like, you know, just save us this one time. And they're basically, their proposal is like, Kylan is kind of the low man on the totem pole for everybody. Like, save Horacio because of Nerys. If Kylan has to go in, let's put, like, at least one other person of the Rat Pack, basically, like Colleen, Berna, Corey, somebody down there to save Nerys and Olivia. So what do we think, I guess, like, in terms of – it really was just a huge, huge clusterfuck of Jay and Michelle are at the top, Kylan's at the very bottom, and then, like, they're trying to save their asses if they can. Maurice,
yeah, that is. It was just a whole lot of false promises, a whole lot of, you know, SBCs, as I've like to call them. But it was just dumb. I thought it was so stupid. Jay very clearly, and Michelle both, will tell anyone exactly what they want to hear. And Berna even made a mention of it where she was like, Michelle said that I'm her number one, but I've also heard that multiple people have said that they're her number one. So, like, yeah, you're not. They're all full of shit. Jay and Michelle are both full of shit. So when they tell you something, like when Jay's in there saying, like, yeah, I we can save Olivia and Nerys, like, early on. No, he doesn't mean that. He's not going to try to follow up on that. And then he's going to play this little victim card like he did after the selection of, that's not how I wanted it to go. I wanted it to be different. Shut the fuck up. You don't care. You're happy.
Well, it's so funny too how, like, before the elimination, when they're in the bedrooms and everything, he's like, he said multiple times to, like, Michelle and everybody else, like, I have one vote. Like, you guys do everything else. You know, it's in your hands at that point. Like, I only have one vote. I can't determine who's last or whatever. And then once they get to the fucking selection and actually go through it, he flips out. That's not what I wanted. Like, how could you do that? Like, buddy, you can't have it all. You literally said 12 hours ago that you only had one vote. And now you must have every single vote go exactly the way you're planning, it just fucking makes no sense. It's the exact opposite.
That's spot on. And that's one of the things I hate about, again, like Jay and Burnham, Michelle, and all these people is like, they're so like counterintuitive to what they say. They say one thing, then they do another. They say one thing, they do another. It's just like, just shut up. Stop playing this fucking card of, I don't have all the power. And then when you don't have all the power, say, well, I had all the power. It was supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
Like just pick a side and be done with it.
Yeah. It was brutal to watch. And so I think kind of the big moment of the episode was when they get to the voting, Jay starts it off, goes Michelle. Michelle kind of surprisingly goes with Olivia and didn't go with, you know, Emmanuel, Mariah, or somebody like that. But she goes with Olivia. And I think at that point, they kind of led us to believe that, like, if you go back to the bedroom chats, like, Nerisse and Olivia were kind of like sucking up together, like, please save both of us, save us and Horacio, and then, you know, Kylan will be last, whatever. And what became clear once she picks Olivia is that it's kind of like Olivia took the two of them sucking up together and turned on Nerisse just like right away and said, like, you don't have to save all of us, just save me. So then Olivia picks Mariah, and that was really the turning point of everything tonight. Because she picks Mariah, Mariah picks James, and then the rest of the dominoes kind of fall, leaving Nerisse at the end. I'm not a fan of Olivia doing this and kind of turning her back on that group, but definitely an interesting thing to talk about here.
Olivia's a little bitch. She was one of my favorites going into this season. And we were texting during this because this was the time when Olivia could have played a move, could have like done it, save me, I'll fall in line. Like, and again, in that little conversation we saw after the selection of earlier, and then it has, you know, Michelle saying every vote we were going to have was going to have you in it. All right, well, just save me. I'll vote for Mariah. I'll vote with you girls all day. Once you're safe in this selection, then you have the power. And like, I hate to say, like, if you want to be a champion, because that's just so fucking overplayed in this season. But if you want to be like a real player in this show, you have to convince somebody, give me the power, I'll do what you want. And then the second you have the power, you do whatever the hell you want with it. And you save Nerisse. And you save, and she saves Horacio, then he saves Kylan, and then one of the Rat Pack, in this scenario, two of the Rat Pack are gone. So that's the thing. If Olivia would have saved Nerisse, and then Horacio, then Kylan, then we would have had two members of the Rat Pack go via elimination, and Ed, even though he's not a rat, he was gone as well. So let's just say Olivia stuck with her actual alliance. Then fast forward to next episode. There's what, 10 people left?
Yeah.
Then you've got Olivia, Nerisse, Kylan, and Horacio. Four of the six all fighting together. Then the whole game gets flipped on its head. And instead, it's still Jay and Michelle calling all the shots. All the good contestants are gone. And we're left with half a cast of fucking Rat Pack members.
Yeah, and Olivia, when she kind of gets in with that group, when she basically has that secret chat to say, like, you know, have Michelle pick me, and then basically, like, I'll promise that I'll pick Mariah and kind of keep everything else in-house. Like you said, like, that's when she should have turned on them, and that's when, like, true, like, I guess, like, challenge, not icons, but like iconic things, like things that we remember when, like, you say you're going to do this and then you don't. Instead, she just kind of catered and she just caved into this group, and it kind of screwed, you know, the three people that she had on her side. And I don't know exactly, like, I mean, it's not surprising because none of these people are that bright, But like, if she must have thought, like, you know, I have to pick Mariah because, like, I gave them my word, or else, you know, I'm going to be next for them. Like, but there's not going to be too many more of these, like, snake drafts. Like, we're not going to have that many more of, like, going through. Like, we have 10 people left. We might have one more of this. And, like, Olivia could win the next challenge, or she could get purged. Like, it's not like she's going to have, you know, the deciding vote, or she's going to have she's going to be right there prime for the taking for, like, Jay and Michelle to send her home. Like, there's a million things that could happen, and there's not a lot of time left. Like, I get if this was, you know, there's 8 more people on the show, then they could definitely, you know, sort of take the next shot at you. But that's probably not going to happen. There's not a lot of time left, and she just kind of caved like a little bitch.
She turtled. She absolutely turtled. It was straight self-preservation for one elimination. And now guess what? She's got Michelle on her side. She doesn't have Nerys, clearly. And doesn't have good relationships with the Rat Pack. So, like, Olivia just went from, she could have been one of 4 very good competitors, very strong alliance. Now she's absolute low man on the totem pole. And that totem pole above her is the fucking Rat Pack. So now she's almost in a must win / can't lose situation from here on out.
Yeah. And like, her worst case, she would have been anyway, if she would have, like, actually saved Nerys and all of that. So it's kind of just a very pivotal moment in the voting there, but it leaves Horacio, Nerys, and Kylan going in. I think we already kind of talked about Jay's little bitch fit that he throws. So then before we get into the elimination itself, anything else kind of after the voting? I think we had Olivia crying, Michelle crying, Jay even threw in a cry. There was a lot of tears this episode, and I feel like a lot of them came in this segment.
Horacio.
Yes.
When they were crying, knowing they were both going to go in together. A lot of tears. Soft.
Way just too many tears. Soft. Way too many tears. Let's get into the elimination. So we get the 3 people going there. TJ tells us right off the bat that instead of sending just one person home, they're going to send 2 people home. And it's more or less the same exact elimination we got last week, just with, like, different obstacles and different puzzles. But it's the 3 of them going to 3 different puzzle stations, and then whoever's first is going to stay, and whoever the 2 other people are going home. So we go through the elimination, and it's pretty close, I guess. Nerys kind of jumps out to an early 2-0 puzzle lead, and then Horacio comes back a little bit. They're tied 2-2. Kylan's never really in the mix. What do we think about kind of this, like, 20-minute stretch here?
I thought it was pretty entertaining. Like, when you have males and females competing in an elimination, you have to make it puzzle focused. We talked about that last week. This one was as well, but I don't want to view it more so as a negative equalizer, more so a positive one, because I do like Nerys, and I think she did really well during this. She took out 2 of the toughest guys. With Ed gone at that point in time, she took out the 2 toughest remaining guys on the show. So, good for her. It was not easy, clearly. And thank God there wasn't a rope to climb over a wall. Thankfully, there were those little ledges this time. I thought it was just I don't think it was necessarily a bad showing from Horacio. It was kind of a bad showing from Kylan, but just a really good showing from Nerys.
Yeah, I agree. She killed it. Kylan didn't do that well. Horacio, I just, like, can't understand why he left his first puzzle. I get, like, you know, you don't want to fall too far behind, but ultimately, like, you're going to have to finish that puzzle. So all you're doing is just creating more trips for yourself, more time for yourself. So I just fundamentally don't understand that decision. But I think a couple things. I think for being a basically copy and paste of last week's elimination, it was still, like you said, pretty entertaining to watch. I also think that because of what this elimination was, and I just mean that it's like a three person, it's sort of late in the season, this like weird puzzle thing, I think it'll kind of, as time goes on, it'll get lost as one of the true like elimination upsets that we've had. But just like the fact that Nerys had a 1-3 shot and beat two of the best guys in the season, probably the two best guys on the season at the same time, is kind of incredible. And I just feel like that might get lost later just because, like, it wasn't, obviously it's not going to be a hall brawl or anything like that. It's just a bunch of puzzles. But, like, she still beat them. She did it pretty handily. But, I mean, the best thing about this part of the episode wasn't who went home. I guess it was just that it was, like, entertaining and fun to watch.
Totally agreed.
So we lose Horacio. We lose Kylan. Before we get into kind of the people that are left, what do we think about those two guys going home, Horacio and Kylan?
It sucks. Like, the rest of the season, even though they changed the format in a positive way, now the cast is just awful. Just awful. Like, I don't know who I'm rooting for at this point. Maybe Nerys to go all the way.
But those two guys, would you want to see him back?
100%. I was very Maso Manos, as I always often say, on Kylan, but he's kind of my man. He grew on me a lot, and he grew on me in a sense of, I thought he was one of the only people in this cast who just doesn't take shit. Like, and we talked about it early on in this episode when he comes back, Horacio comes back, and almost immediately he starts talking shit about Berna. Oh, you're so sad. I feel sad for you. All right, well, if you feel sad for her, don't vote me in again. Like, yeah. It's that kind of shit that we don't get anymore. And I think Kylan being put through all the eliminations and all the voting kind of soured him up a little bit and hardened him a little bit. And I think that was absolutely for the best, because, like, let's say he was on Jay's alliance from the get-go and he was just falling in line with everyone, I think I would have a very different answer to this. But now, like, I'm kind of all in on Kylan coming back, and I do still very much like Horacio a lot.
Yeah, I liked Kylan. He kind of probably like the episode 7 mark, I feel like, something like that. He hadn't really done anything, but then he kind of went on a stretch where, like, every episode he kind of grew on me a little more and a little more. He was winning eliminations. Like you said, he wasn't taking shit from anybody. He wasn't taking shit from Jay. And it's really, like, unfortunately, like, there's not a lot of people on this season that you can say that about. And he, like, did it in a fun way where, like, even in the elimination tonight, TJ was like, you know, Kylan, you're falling behind. And he was like, oh, yeah, exactly. Like, just kind of not giving a shit, but, like, in a, I'm still clearly trying to win. It was more of like a, Berna, you're talking to me like I don't give a shit. Like, you're on the other alliance. Just, like, take it. So I would like to see him back. Horacio, too, I think he, for a stretch there, was looking pretty soft and, like, refusing to make his voice heard and everything. I think by the end of his time this season, he kind of got somewhat of a voice back. I mean, he's just, like, a nice guy, and that's who he is. But, like, I do think that the way sort of him and Kylan were the targets for, like, the last 6 episodes, like, I think that's going to stick with him, and he's, like, one of the best competitors that's, like, on the show regularly now. So I would want to see both of them back.
I would group Horacio and Ed together and say, if you want to win the game, you got to play the game. Neither of them really played the game this season. And yeah, it was kind of in different reasons. Like, Ed was a part of an alliance, but was no impact to the alliance. And Horacio was on an island from the get-go. And, like, again, in order to win the game, you have to play the game. Like, you look at somebody like James, all he's been doing is playing the game, and he's still fucking here. And I hate James. And then you got to think, like, if people like Horacio and Ed played the game and also competed the way they did, they would be very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, I would want to see both of them back over basically anybody that's left, honestly, and a lot of people that's been on the season, period. So real quickly, I know he's kind of touched on it a little bit, but before we go into elimination, let's kind of look forward into the final 10 that are left here. Like we said, we lost three big guys that we were all kind of rooting for this episode. So we're left with four guys, six girls. My question right off the bat is basically, who are we rooting for? And as I was thinking about this, and the list is short, but I feel like we have four guys. I don't want any of them to win, which is possible because there's only one winner: Jay, James, Corey, and Emmanuel. I'm just out on all of those. If I had to pick one of them, I would probably pick Emmanuel. I don't know. I wouldn't want – definitely not Jay, not Corey. And, like, I would say James, but he's just such a little bitch. Like, I guess I would – you know, Emmanuel's he's playing for his mom. So, like, out of the guys, I would pick them. But I think from the girls, Olivia would have been high on the list. But after what she did tonight – Michelle's kind of been the girl version of Jay all season. I think, like, honestly, I think the right answer has to be Nerys, right?
Yeah. So here's what I think. I've got Nerys as my number one. I've got Emmanuel as my number two. But my two wild cards, and this would require a drastic change, but if James somehow, late game, screwed over Mariah to punch his ticket to the final, he's now my number one. Because yeah, this would be the longest, most undercover spy shit that we have ever seen. Because she has been walking him like a dog this whole season. And if he had an ounce of power late game to solidify himself getting in the final, and he takes it, it's a total 180 for me. Again, I know that's saying a lot, but just imagine if James literally, like, said, fuck it, I'm going, I don't care who else comes with me. Then it becomes James goes from a little bitch to a fucking player like that.
Yeah. If he did something like that, I think he would definitely shoot up. It's just like the result of this elimination sucks so bad. Because, like, if TJ would have said two people came back and Kylan would have come back, like, he would have been top of the list. Like, I would root for Horacio over Kylan, but, like, I would root for Ed over Kylan. But, like, still Kylan would be the top. But it's like at this point, I feel like I'm kind of rooting for Nerys, like, in spirit of Kylan and Horacio. So just, like, you know, for yes, this, like, everything we saw tonight, like, the options I don't think have ever been slimmer of, like, who to root for on an episode or on a season. And so we'll see what happens next week, but we're down to six girls, four guys. Like, all four guys that are left might go to the final. Who knows? Which sucks, but I don't want any of them to win. I would go Nerys 1, Emmanuel 2, and then after that, it's just a fucking crapshoot.
Yeah, agreed. Again, unless James pulls a move, or my other alternative would be if Michelle pulls a move on Jay, which yeah. I don't see either of those two happening. But Michelle and Jay clearly have a lot of beef right now, and if she just got fed up to the point where, like, because now she's got her two best friends back in the house. And if Jay wanted to vote her in again, and then Michelle was just like, fuck this, I'm drawing a line in the sand. This is my team. This is your team. We're just going to duke it out. If anyone makes a move like that, I will immediately back whoever that person is, whether it be Michelle or Jay. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, and I think, like,
Sorry, fuck Jay.
And even going into next week, like, the only person I'm rooting for is Norice, because, like, she is clearly more so on a one-person island than I can remember in a while, because she obviously lost her two people, and then Olivia has kind of turned sides again. So, like, next week, there's really nobody to root for besides Norice, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think we lost the top – literally going into tonight, our top three people we were rooting for all went home, which sucks. But I think overall, good, entertaining episode. Let's get into some segments real quick. First one is just kind of a quick little home turf recap. So we'll spend a few minutes on this. Basically, I guess the challenge is putting out a special on YouTube every Monday now, called Home Challenge, Home Turf, or something like that. The one this past Monday was CT. It was like a 40-minute long YouTube video. Anybody in the chat saw it, let us know your thoughts. But what do we think on just the overall CT home turf thing?
I mean, I had two thoughts, really. One, it's a complete knock on the Legends Tour. I mean, Sir the Pod, BMFE, has been doing this for years now. And now the challenge is literally just ripping it off, like almost verbatim. I thought it was going to be a lot of just, you know, where you're from and stuff like that, which it was at first, but then it went straight into a Legends Tour. And then my second thought was CT's sister stole the show. She is bad, and we need to get her on.
God, she really was. Bloodlines too. I think it was good. It was entertaining. It was just one of those classic like challenge specials where it's fun to watch, but like if somebody says, you know, oh, I didn't watch it, it's like you're not missing a ton. I just don't get what they were going for. Like the point of it and all the trailers are like home turf, you know, see what your favorite challengers are like when they're at home or when they're behind closed doors, and like we got some of that. But then it was kind of alternating between like showing CT on Free Agents and X's too. And it's like, we've all seen this.
We've all seen it.
If you want to show us a highlight reel, just fucking call it Legends Tour, put our podcast in the description and like show highlights. That's fine. People will watch it. But if you want to say like, this is, you know, who CT is when he's not like in front of the camera, like show us that, like show us who his friends are, show us where he goes out. Like we didn't really get a whole lot of that. But it was still kind of entertaining. So like the fact that they really have not a clear direction, but still kind of made it fun to watch, I think was good. But I think too, like, I don't know if we can tell who's next Monday, but it'll be fun to kind of see. Like CT was one of the perfect people to start with. Yeah, obviously with a huge career and all that, but like, I would want to see Leroy on this. Like see what like Leroy is like, or like Tony. Or trying to think of like obviously Leroy would be with Cam. What?
Kenny.
Or like Tori, somebody like that. Like somebody who's kind of like a famous challenge face, but not like at the CT bananas level, because I feel like we've just seen so much of them. So it'll be interesting to see what the next few are like.
Well, and the problem with that too, and I thought about this. I mean, the chat and obviously me and you have been saying for a while, we need to get Tony Raines back. I know that's one staple that me and you and us two alone always say. But one thing I thought is I'm pretty sure they're doing one on Big T.
Oh, God. That's an auto skip.
About Big T.
That's an auto skip. Yeah, why the fuck? That's
like, I don't know. It would have been interesting and interactive for the challenge to put out a poll of who do you want to see for something like this and then have the fans vote on it. Then it would have been very entertaining. They would have got much more viewers, I'm sure. But I mean, yeah, I guess we'll see. It's a fun little snippet of challenge content.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll keep revisiting it for as long as it's on.
Yeah. Finn Duffy, if you're going to do someone British, do like Kyle. Let me go one step further. Let's do Bear. Like, why not?
All right. Let's get into our next segment. This day in challenge history. I don't have any trivia questions. I just have two quick things. On this day in 2005, so 19 years ago, the Battle of the Sexes 2 reunion aired. And it was hosted by somebody named VJ Lala Vasquez. So, oh, wow. I went to her Wikipedia page, and she was married to and now divorced Carmelo Anthony.
You're lying, Sarah.
You learn something new every day.
VJ Lala what?
Her name is she goes by Lala Vasquez, but the thing for the reunion said VJ. I don't know what that stands for. Video jockey?
Well, maybe. Now she goes by Lala Anthony.
See? She hosted a reunion.
Wow. Good for her.
11 years. And then the other thing I had was, so I know last week I read an episode description. I kind of want to do the same thing. I'm going to read this whole description. It's pretty short for Challenge 2000. So the third season of the challenge, there are six challengers. Everybody's on the same team. This was episode 3, 24 years ago. The teams are given their next clue. Los annoys some of his teammates for being cheap with his money. The teams head out to a gym where they are taught by a teacher how to wrestle with each other. The teams head to the Palladium to compete against each other. The next mission is Wheel of Wrestling, where a wheel determines the matchup. Austin Powers actor Vern Troyer, isn't that the little guy?
I think so. That's
skinny me. Trev will probably like that.
It is.
So it says Austin Powers actor Vern Troyer makes an appearance as host. Despite valiant efforts by the Road Rules team, Real World ends up winning 7-5. Los starts to feel isolated from the group and ends up leaving for a walk after getting into an argument with Piggy and Veronica over pizza.
The first Pizzagate.
The original Pizzagate. So 24 years ago, this show was on, and we had Mini-Me from Austin Powers, a fight over pizza, and somebody named Piggy.
I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
That's just amazing. All right.
Yeah, so Piggy was smoking too much last week, too. I don't know who Piggy was, but I think I like Piggy.
Piggy sounds awesome. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl or what.
Thomas. Piggy's real name is Brownwin. Middle. Piggy is just gross looking. Brownwin, middle name Piglet Thomas.
God.
Who goes by Piggy.
God.
From Middlesbrough, England. Middlesbrough, kind of sneaky good. But Piggy. God. Ugh.
Pig roast. All right. Last segment of the night is MVP, LVP. You guys know what to do. Let's see. Somebody send in the order here, and then we'll give our picks and wrap up for the night.
All right. I've got a trivia question for you while we wait. Piggy is the first international contestant to win a flagship challenge season. Who has won internationally since then? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rogan.
Yep.
Well, if we're talking internationally, like Dee, she's Australian.
Oh, D's not on here.
Is it just UK people?
No.
Turbo?
Wait. Sorry. Who did you say?
I said D.
Yes. Sorry. You're correct. For whatever reason, I thought you said DM. I just watched the CT thing. D's correct.
In Turbo?
Turbo's correct. There's still two more.
Ginny? Ginny West?
One more.
I'm not looking at the chat.
Do you want a hint?
International. Give me not a strong hint.
Not overseas, if that makes sense.
Okay.
North American, but not American.
Oh, is it Evan?
Bang!
Evan's Canadian, yes. God. So what's the list?
Evan, Turbo, Ginny, D, and
Piggy?
No, Piggy, and then I just closed this. Rogan?
Wow, so there's Piggy and then a long gap and then Evan. And then another shorter gap, and then a lot of these newbies.
Wow.
Interesting.
That was impressive. I think you've earned a candy gram.
God, that's my... All right, I think the first order came in from Trevor, but I don't know if we count that.
No, I don't think we can.
So let's do McCord Central. Let's do Finn Duffy then. So it'll be me and then you for MVP, LVP tonight. My MVP, God, it's hard when you lose just a lot of people you like. But my MVP, and this is not a chalk pick. I actually watched the episode. I feel like we haven't done it for a while. I'm going TJ. TJ, I think, had an underrated performance. I think the best part was when they were doing the voting and Jay was freaking out and they just kind of kept flashing to TJ and he was just kind of moving his eyes around and he was like, what the fuck is this kid doing? And he's like, Jay, he literally said, Jay, what did you think was going to happen? And Jay was like, well, they were supposed to save him and she was supposed to save her. And then like, that's why I had this planned out. And TJ is like, dude, like, you can't, like, calm down. And then, like, the fact that he was just, like, blatantly rooting for Norice to kind of win, but also still kind of rooting for Horacio and Kylan because he knew those were, like, the two best guys on the season. So it was a kind of an understated, but I think a good performance by TJ tonight.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I know TJ's been going downhill for me fast for the past couple years, but
I think he had a bounce tonight.
I don't disagree. My MVP pick is going to be Jared March. You might be asking yourself, who? But during the closing credits, this episode was dedicated to Jared March. Looks like he passed away recently. And it said Jared March was a behind-the-scenes guy for the challenge, which you got to imagine he's been doing for the past couple years. So he's been giving us entertainment and taking no credit for an awful long time. And I can't imagine there's many higher credits. It's almost like getting inducted into the Hall of Fame by getting voted an MVP on Stir the Pod. So I feel like it's our duty to give Jared March an MVP pick tonight.
Yeah, I think he deserves it. Thoughts and prayers go out to Jared and his family. We'll do a quick moment of silence for Jared. Okay. Good pick. And who's your LVP?
There are two that are just sticking out to me. I think one's very chalky, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to say the other again. So I'm going LVP Olivia. She sucks. She had a chance to make a move. Me and you were texting about the move, and she didn't fucking make the move. She was served a silver platter of turn this game on its head, put you and your best friends in a great situation to win this show, and she totally fumbled it. So I'm going to give it to Olivia. She also like tainted her reputation in my mind moving forward. I thought she was actually a very good competitor. I liked her going into this. I wanted her to be one of the faces of the show. Now I think she's just a huge little bitch.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. That's probably where I was going to go. I think she had a high approval rating. I think everybody liked her from what she did last season. She was, you know, kind of with the annoying alliance this season, but like still holding her ground until tonight. Until tonight when she totally flipped. And Nerissa's brother, I guess, was right. So that's a good pick. My LVP, I guess I'll just go and take the other easy option from tonight. I'll go Jay. Just a huge little bitch all season. He's really racking him up this season. And just the communication of crying, complaining about his pick and then getting mad when nobody goes with him. Like, just a really bad showing. He's like Rocky Dennis from the Family Guy cutaways. So I'm going to go Jay for LVP.
Yep. Great pick. That was who I was between as well. He just finds a new way to piss me off every episode, and I'm just so done with him on this season and moving forward.
Yeah, and I think one last kind of thought on Jay is we mentioned earlier, who are we rooting for? And we kind of ended up with, like, really our only option now is Nerissa. But I think my sort of second rooting interest in the season now is for Jay to lose. Like, I don't care who wins, really, as long as it's not Jay. Like, I want Jay. I mean, there's a lot of people that I don't want to win, but, like, I want to see Jay lose in, like, the last elimination before the final. Or, like, get Same. Out to a big lead in the final, and then he has to drink something, and he can't do it, and he goes home looking like the other Jay, like a little bitch. Like, that's what I'm rooting for now because he's that unlikable.
Yeah, that's number one over Nerissa for me.
Yeah. Any honorable mentions, anything else from the episode tonight?
The only other honorable mention I could think of would be for LVP for just the Rat Pack in general. I hate them all. I'd want none of them to win, and I want none of them to be on the episode or on the season again. I didn't dislike Emmanuel, but he sucks. Can't stand him. The whole Rat Pack,
want him gone. I kind of wanted to go like Mariah. Like, she's just annoying. She's done so nothing. Annoying. She just fucking hides in the shadows of everybody else. And it was like, it was kind of funny too when they were in the bedroom, like in the middle of the episode before the voting, and Nerissa and Olivia were like, oh, well, like, you know, if you want to save Mariah above us, now you have to, like, that means you're also saving James. Like, James, none of us knew 5 weeks ago. Like, why are you including them? And like, Mariah, of course, had no answer for it, and they didn't even matter anyway. But it's just annoying that, like, Mariah and James are just sort of, like, latched on to this group. It's just so unlikable all around. It really
Agreed.
Is.
And that's why, again, I'm rooting for that James just stab in the back. That would just be next level.
That would be a prime moment. That would kind of be Rogan and D-esque. I feel like that happened a few seasons ago. And she was all over him. All right, I'm just trying to check the chat. I don't think there's anything else. So, are you good?
I'm good.
All right, episode. Yeah, it was a good episode. I think we kept the momentum going. It wasn't as good as last week, but it's still a good episode. We kept the momentum going. Each week now is kind of interesting because we're just so close to the end. Every move is huge, so we'll see who ends up making the finale and all of that. But episode 16 for now is in the books. So thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Shout out Duffy. Love you guys. Follow us on Twitter at SirThePod. Shout out Duffy. Bye-bye. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Love you guys. Love you guys.